All right, it is 11:39, a couple minutes behind schedule, sorry. We're gonna get started with item number 27, which is a discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2023-2024 Story County tentative budget. First submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation, Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. I want to start off by saying this is the tentative budget. We will have several changes, amendments, corrections, additions, subtractions as we get into the final budget, which I will bring to you on May 16th for approval. I do know right now a few items that are not addressed in this tentative budget and various funds and departments, and I will bring those up along the way just so you have that information. I'm going to start with the general fund, which includes various departments. But first of all, our general fund revenues are budgeted at approximately $26 million. While we continue to budget very conservatively, we do budget according to taxation projections. And again, I do have some questions out to taxation because we're not really sure how they came up with, for example, the SCCRTs. So that is something that will be changing, possibly, depending on those answers. Another area that we're currently working on is licensing and permitting. I'm working with the fire district and community development to make sure that they're both budgeting projects. Also, I'm working with the senior center. She has a few food contracts. One is for the school, which she's working on right now, kind of a test program. And we are looking at the senior center also supplying food to the sheriff's department for inmate meals. Getting into the expenses overall for the general fund, we have budgeted $24.6 million. That does not include contingencies or transfer outs. With that, all departments with employees have significant increases in wages and benefits. This is due to annual merit increases, pay chart increases per the CBAs, a 26% increase in health insurance, PERS increases for both regular employees, which is 3.75%, bringing the total to 33.5%. And police fire increase of 6%, bringing the total contribution to 50%. It is important to note that these increases are split between the employees' COLAs and the county. However, we do budget for the entire expense. Countywide, we're requesting several new positions. In the general fund, we are requesting a few part-time admin positions moving to full-time. That would be a current admin position in the commissioners, part-time moving to full-time, and a current part-time position into full-time with a slight percentage being out of the community service department. Buildings and grounds is requesting two additional full-time positions. Community development is requesting a new full-time inspector. Community service is also requesting an additional full-time position, which that whole department is being reconfigured, and we'll get into more of that later. And the senior center is requesting a part-time Mark Twain site coordinator. With all of this, we have a combined increase in general fund wages and benefits of approximately 26% combined, that's 16% wages and 41% in benefits. Overall, the general fund service and supplies section of the budget has increased 24% with all the departments. Thought this meeting was going to go a lot longer, but with the interest of time, departments that don't have significant changes over the current budget and are not matching this 24% in service and supplies, I just want to touch on quickly. These are also reflected in your summary sheets. The assessor's office has an overall budget increase of 12%. The administrative department has an overall increase of 6%. This includes the DIDS or Indigent Defense Fund moving to that community service department. The DA has an overall increase of 10%. The district court department has an overall increase of 14%. That is wages and benefits. That's strictly due to increased costs in public defenders. Justice court has an overall increase of 7%. Health and human has an overall increase of 15%. Parks and pool has an overall increase of 5%. Service department has an overall increase of 10%. IT wins the prize this year, but I'm hearing this morning might change, has a decrease of 12% overall. And emergency management has an overall increase of 15%. As you can see, the majority of these increases are not even matching where the wages and benefit increases are. Therefore, I want to commend these departments for really watching their budgets and only budgeting for what they're absolutely seeing that they're going to utilize next year. Moving on to specific departments with significant changes, I'm going to start with the commissioner's budget and talk a little bit first about the transfers out. Transfers out are not an operational portion of this budget, but it does affect the bottom line of the general fund. Total transfers out currently are $11,772,500. These monies will be going to support various projects and operations in various funds. They're reflected as revenues or transfers in their respective funds. Those in transfers include $1 million to the road budget. This will allow for several special one-time type projects. $100,000 will go to support the daily operations of Pipers. This is down slightly from $105,000 of the current year. I might also like to let you know that we do watch Pipers' budget closely, especially nearing the fourth quarter. If it appears that their operational revenues are covering their operational expenses, that fourth quarter transfer does not happen. Capital projects, we are currently budgeting an $8 million transfer. This will be to fund the grant matches, such as the appropriation projects and other planned projects. The Tri-Payback Fund will receive Emergency mitigation is $100,000 to boost their ending fund balance. And currently the grant fund, we're looking at approximately $72,000 for the matches for various grants that we're applying for. On to the operational part of the commissioner's budget. This department has several overall increases, including the wages and benefits. The servicing supplies has some significant decreases with the reconfiguration of the community service budget. This involves moving the business development officer and corresponding expense lines to the community service department, which we are working on a name change. So if anybody has some great ideas, you can email them over. Significant line items that are increasing in the commissioner's budget include an estimated increase for our liability insurance premium of 25% and the professional service budget that is increasing 47%. With all of this, the service and supplies section of this budget is increasing 20%. I'd like Austin to come up and speak to the needs of why his professional service budget is increasing substantially.
Before Austin takes over, Comptroller, have we used up the community funds for this year?
Have we used community funds?
Yeah, the 10,000.
They're currently being working on, as we remarked earlier, we have several projects that are waiting for.
That's right. They're spoken for already, right? The funds.
Are you talking the current budget?
I just want to know, do we need to notify them that they have money available?
No.
Or has it been used up already for this year? Like it starts over in June.
Right, it starts over in July.
So do we have any communities have any money that we can still use?
As far as Mark Twain, they have not touched their money.
Okay.
I believe I would have to look. There may be a couple $1,000 left in the Highlands. I do not believe that the entirety of the 10,000 will be used in Lockwood because, however, part of their funding will be moved to the next fiscal year because of they cannot reseed the Truckee Meadow area until the fall. It takes a certain amount of time, so part of their budget is moving. City, you know, they have probably substantial, a couple thousand dollars left in theirs by the time it's all spoken for.
Okay, thanks. Sorry to interrupt that. County Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and Comptroller. Austin Husberg, for the record. Just to explain what's happening in 101, the Commissioner's budget, we are increasing court or half staff. We're going to share that person. It's already there also with 105 with Human Resources. Otherwise, it'll stay relatively the same. As far as professional services go, we know what's going on in the legislature. Professional service, our lobbyists, includes John Restrepo with the RCG group, the AK group, all the financial economic outlook work we're doing with the white paper and working with legislative leaders and all the commercials and types of you know, outreach we're doing legislatively. That's in professional services. That's a big bulk of what's going on here. We are doing this year a complete policy rewrite. This is not the human resources policies, but the vehicle use and all the other administrative policies. We're going to go out to a bid on that. That'll be done through professional services. We still have not engaged in the Marlette water system negotiations. All of the different parties that are involved are not yet ready. So we're going to roll that over into the next year. There is an item in here for building security. The sheriff has come up with some ideas that we're discussing right now. So I want to keep that as a placeholder in there, but it may go into more of an in-house function with some of the programs he has. And then we're still in the middle of negotiating or working on the request for proposals for the successor solid waste franchise agreement. So all these things are the reason that professional services is where it's going. And they are all itemized individually in my budget. And then you'll notice that there are some items dealing with DIDS, which is indigent defense, that is being moved out of 101.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, do you have any questions for Austin at this time?
I don't. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'd like to move on to the Clerk Treasurer's Department. There are a couple possible changes that we're looking at. Clerk Treasurer has requested HR to look at a possible reclassification. This is not budgeted here. I'll work with both Clerk Jim Hindle and HR Mitzi when these things are finalized and get them into the budget. The Clerk Treasurer's service and supplies has increased approximately 19%. This includes new maintenance agreements for once the initial cost of the software comes out of the capital fund, it's up to the individual departments to take on the maintenance and supports. As well, the election line item has increases of approximately 38%. This is primarily due to the coming fiscal year being a presidential election with some other significant changes. Clerk Treasurer Jim Hindle can speak to these changes and increases better than we can.
Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer. General, just as we've been talking over, you know, the last number of months, we've seen a significant increase in the volume of activities that have gone on. And as we talked between elections, becoming a much more year-round activity. On top of the Secretary of State having more reporting and more follow-ups for us, you know, the example to that is we've just finished our final reports on the 2022 election at the beginning of this month. So activity goes on much more. And then we've got two significant changes coming up within the next fiscal year. One is we are adding one whole election within the cycle. That is the presidential preference poll, which will happen the first week of February 2024. That means that election preparation and actual activity starts quite honestly, it could start as early as September of this year, but then go through definitely October, November, December. And then you have our normal primary in June of 2024 and the general in November of 2024. While that is only that we have that extra election, that election encompasses the full range of what we would have to manage, whether it be a primary or a general. Mail out ballots, the staffing of early voting, as well as day of voting, just because it's limited to one race, the presidential race, doesn't mean that we don't have the full the contingency or the full amount of efforts that we would have in any election part of the cycle. So it is, while it may be a little more focused, it is basically almost a 30% increase in the budget because it is a third election that we have to manage. The second part of the election budget that's going to increase is related to our voter registration and election management system. The Secretary of State in the 21 session, if I remember it correctly, was mandated to initiate a top-down voter registration election management system. Prior to that and currently, we're managing from the counties and then aggregating up to the Secretary of State. Is necessitating a whole new system that the Secretary of State is developing and will be implementing. The target for implementation of this new voter registration election management system is March of next year, so that we use it in the primary in June. It will necessitate a replacement of all our poll pads and the hardware and the software that we not just use to manage voters, the voter lists, but on site in check-in and initiation of the voting to the machines. For 2024, we will be running two systems. We will be running our current VoteTech system and in order to have a backup. And then when we implement the new system, that will take place with the no-ink system. And but this necessitates the fact that we're going to be supporting and spending on two systems at the same time. At this point, the Secretary of State is telling us that they are going to subsidize a good portion of the new system for the first year. So the economic impact may not be as significant as we are forecasting. It depends on the final contract, which is just being finalized now by the Secretary of State with the new vendor, and subsidizing our hardware to get there. But it's a full replacement of all hardware we use on site for voter registration, check-in, and verification at that time. We're also looking at budget increases within the ICX, the touchscreen system, because there's a proposal for replacing part of that system as well. That's still in development, but we've budgeted some for as a contingency that we would have to buy new equipment. It won't change hardware or software for the ICX touchscreen system, but it may have an impact on hardware. Again, Secretary of State is saying that they will subsidize a portion of that, but it's yet to be defined. What was the other one? The system maintenance. The second part where we had significant increases is our maintenance support. As Comptroller McCain said, in terms of managing DevNet, Tyler, we're seeing significant increases in our annual renewals of almost all our software systems. The OnBase, as I know the Commissioner's Office is also participating on for record storage and retention and agenda management, as well as responses to public record requests. That company has changed hands, and we're looking at a new maintenance agreement with them. Also Civics Plus, which we use to manage MuniCode, which is our online and our code storage or code access. They are changing their contract, and that will have an increase on us as well. And so we're just looking at this, some general inflation, people playing catch up and just increasing contracts, as well as some restructuring of the way those agreements are now managed by both the vendor and therefore to us. And did you want me to talk about staffing at all or no? Okay. Any questions?
Thank you, Treasurer.
Make sure, do you have any questions? No, I don't have any questions either. Pretty self-explanatory. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to the recorder's office. This office is usually fairly quiet when it comes to the budget. However, Drew has come up with a wonderful historical document scanning project that is increasing her service and supplies by 68%. The initial quote that she has to do all of her documents is $200,000. And if Drew can give you some more information about this project and why she deems this a significant needed item for our county.
Drew McPherson. So I'm requesting $200,000 for my records management budget for a one-time project to index and redact 123 years of property records in the Story County Recorder's Office dating back to 1859. Currently, the online documents are only searchable back.
Right.
May I proceed?
You're good.
Okay. So currently online documents are searchable back to 1982. So in 2019, the recorder's office records were digitally imaged for preservation and accessibility purposes. These images have been imported to our recording software, but they're not searchable by really anyone with keywords. Locating these pre-1982 records is a time-intensive manual process that requires the public to visit the recorder's office in person to conduct research. Documents included in this project are deeds, mortgages, easements, maps, liens, mining documents, and other important property records. Document requests come to our office from title companies, law firms, real estate professionals, other county offices, and members of the public seeking information on their properties or family ties to Story County. These documents are used to check for clear title before a purchase, to secure grants for Story County-owned properties, and to determine a property's ownership over time. Once complete, this project ensures 24/7 access to our records from the comfort of the researcher's home or office. There will be no need for members of the public to travel to the courthouse to navigate multiple systems to locate records. Search results are comprehensive, providing a clear picture of a property's history. Last year, we budgeted $18,000 to complete a small portion of the project, which we did not use. At the requested amount, this project will be put out for bid. And we've received one quote at this time, just for a general idea of the cost, and it came in at $191,000. So we'll have to reinitiate that process. Once the project is complete, we will be able to, through our current software provider, add a feature where we can charge $1 per page for these documents. So it could be a future source of revenue as well. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Drew. I assume that this will be hooked up to the back end of our website somehow. It's not going to be a separate portal, right?
Exactly. So it would just go seamlessly with our online search that we have now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Vice Chairman, you have any questions for Drew?
I don't have any questions on this particular project. One of the things that was curious to me a little bit was just that certainly the salary and wages budget was down a little bit. I was just wondering if, I'm not complaining in any way, shape, or form, but I'm curious what accounts with it now.
For salaries, do you have any?
For her, I'm misunderstanding.
Yeah, just the salary and wages line is down year over year.
For the recorder's budget?
Yeah, for the recorder's budget.
Initially, their previous years, there was an extra position budgeted in there. This year, it was that position, so we took that part of the position.
Yeah, I mean, with all this automation, you may replace people with kiosks like this past week.
Yeah, so we are now fully staffed. So we have two full-time deputy recorders.
Great. Great. Wonderful. No other questions. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to move on to buildings and grounds. Along with those two initial requested positions, their budget of wages and benefits has increased, as well as we have a significant increase in building. It's going to sound like a lot, but it's 285%. Part of this is reconfiguring some of the past practices where buildings and grounds manages a project where it's budgeted out of another department. We tend to run into some significant issues when it comes to processing those payables. Does Public Works have access to building the building account of a different department? So what we have tried to achieve this year is to put all of those projects that will be managed by Buildings and Grounds into their department fund. So this is the reason for this large increase. You're not going to see a lot of building maintenance projects other than small items that the individual departments can manage themselves. Included in this, a few of the items that we're looking at completing in the coming year are repairing stairs at the senior center, the painting of various county buildings. We have much needed roof repairs in Public Works, the courthouse shed, and the Justice Center. We're looking to replace the carpet in the commissioner's office, as well as there are some significant structural repairs to the deck and at the sheriff and DA's office, as well as an awning that the sheriff is looking at having to provide shade there. That's all I have for buildings and grounds. Moving into the sheriff's department, we have an overall budget increase of 22%. Some changes that are not reflected in this budget are additional staff requests. Some of those additional requests include an additional assistant sheriff, part-time evidence room clerk, a part-time inmate work crew manager, a part-time coroner, a volunteer coordinator. In a few minutes, Sheriff Cullen can get up and speak a little bit more about these new positions, unless you'd like him to come up now and break up his talk. You want to do it all at once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other significant changes, the service and supplies section is currently being increased by 12%. This is primarily due to increasing the budget to match current year trends. And of course, that's across the board. Promised I wouldn't use that word, but it does work here. These include accounts such as telephone, auto maintenance, fuels, and tires. Other significant changes are in travel and training and maintenance. The travel and training is due to Sheriff Cullen looking at better educating his deputies, sergeants, and the rest of his staff to bring them up to where things they should know when we put them out on the street. A significant change also is moving some specific items, such as the payments for their body cameras and their tasers from enforcement supplies, capital outlay, where they've been paid out of in the past, into maintenance agreements. These are more of a support cost at this time. He has a reduction in his capital outlay of approximately 40%. Some changes here are Sheriff Cullen and his team are looking at some additional grants opportunities that are not yet reflected in this budget, which may include some county matches. It's yet to be determined if these will show up in his department budget or in the grant fund. Sheriff Cullen has been working really hard on restructuring his department from the ground up with the budget. Moving into the next fiscal year, he is trying to walk the line of being very conservative while providing his staff with needed upgrades and equipment and including additional positions to make everyone's life easier. one item of choice that he is changing that we will discuss a little bit more in equipment acquisition is his choice of patrol vehicles. He'd like to move away from the Dodge Durangos into having Chevy Tahoes. As well, he's restructuring the hierarchy of his department to spread out duties and assignments to hopefully avoid burnout in some of those key positions. I'd like Sheriff Cohen to please come up and explain some of these major changes that he's making within his department.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sheriff.
Some of the biggest things are the staffing levels. Obviously, we're currently down 10 positions still, but I foresee filling those positions rather quickly now that the negotiations has concluded and we have a better contract in there for the deputies. With that, Jennifer mentioned with some of the positions, assistant sheriff position, what I've found out in the last 3 months is we have a lot of people doing a lot of jobs. And my plan is to narrow that down so we can be more efficient with specific jobs. As we grow with the facilities, the tri-center, we're going to have more things going on. And it just makes common sense to start spreading these jobs out a little bit. So the assistant sheriff position is something I'd like to add. It's going to be a full-time position. And it's basically just to spread out that chain of control or chain of command with the deputies. Another position I'd like to add for full-time administrative manager. My plan is to staff all the stations, jail, 205 up here in C Street, the Tri-Center, and then Lockwood full-time, Monday through Friday, with administrative staff that can meet with the community, take reports, do the things they need to do out there. The Tri-Center is an interesting thing. The plan here is to increase that footprint and decrease the footprint slightly in Lockwood. We have 280 registered offenders that come in to register in Lockwood in Virginia City because that's where we currently do that. Our plan is to move all of those people out to the Tri-Center and let them register there, among other things. So by increasing that footprint, I see a need for an administrative office manager to manage our civilian personnel. Some of the part-time positions that we're looking at adding, a volunteer coordinator. So we've had a huge increase in volunteer applications and folks that want to be involved on that end, including reserves, the current CERT members, our administrative assistant volunteers that want to work in the building, the search and rescue that's we're working on, even the reserves, and then a mounted unit and the chaplain program. We've got a big interest in chaplains that want to come on board as well. A volunteer coordinator in a part-time spot should be able to manage this and help out with those groups. My inmate work crew supervisor, this is something I've talked about for quite some time. Using weekend inmates to clean Virginia City rather than sit in the jail for 24 or 48 hours serving their time. Not just Virginia City, but the entire county, including the homeless camps and the litter that's gone on out by the Lockwood area and the river. Get our inmate work crew supervisor down there with some inmates that are serving weekends or maybe they're sentenced to time in jail and they can be trustees. They can go out and do some work. If you've noticed on the boardwalk, there's, in my view, extensive amount of graffiti that shouldn't be there. And I'd love to have some people cleaning that off on a regular basis. That's also a part-time position. The evidence technician is something that came up fairly recently. I hadn't looked at this just yet until just a few weeks ago. Our evidence collection and documentation and cataloging is in desperate need of restructuring and repair. It's a full-time job for one of our sergeants right now, and I'd like to get a part-time technician in there to take that load. Couple days a week to get in there and start fixing things and pay attention to the evidence. We have a volunteer working with one of our sergeants right now to try to get that under control. And it needs immediate attention. The other one is kind of an interesting position and it'll relieve the deputies of some of the time spent when they end up on a coroner's call. This is an on-call coroner position. It basically just gets a flat rate to come out and supplement the deputies and assist with that. Simple, non-investigative type deaths is where they would be assisting. This generally attracts retired fire medics and law enforcement personnel to come in and be part of the sheriff's office in an on-call position. And it's a simple position that pays $70-$75 a call out for these deaths. And I don't foresee that costing more than $6,500 a year at the most. I guess that's basically it with the staffing positions. I'm going to keep going if that's good. Okay. We're doing a few things with advancement by reinstituting corporal positions. That's just going to, you know, add to the deputies' staffing and their opportunities for advancement and hopefully retaining in Shirley County as a career. The contract has done a lot for these staffing levels, like I said earlier, and I do foresee filling these open positions, which I didn't mention that we have 10 positions that are open now, but I anticipate two more deputies leaving for jobs other places in the country. And we'll be down 12 spots, but I do think that we will better fill those by July 1st. The staffing mobile equipment. Jennifer mentioned the Chevy Tahoes. Yesterday, for example, we had another one of our Dodge Durangos rear-ended at an accident scene. We've had a couple of cars that have gotten wrecked this year at accident scenes, and the cost for replacement parts is fairly high when it's compared to some of the Chevy Tahoe parts. Chevy Tahoes are a proven platform for law enforcement vehicles. They handle the snow, they handle the mud, the terrain, and we have a lot of terrain out here. I was on a call this month ago with one of our Durangos down in 6 Mile that slid off the road. It was an all-wheel drive vehicle, but it just wasn't able to stay on the road. It couldn't make it up 6 Mile, slid off the road. I'm new to the Dodge Durangos, but Eric might be able to elaborate a little bit on some of the differences and some of the reason why we want to change it.
Commissioners and manager, Eric Clance, Assistant Sheriff. The Chevy Tahoes, in our discussions with the vehicle fleet maintenance and just better known, they are that have the ability to be shifted from 2 to 4-wheel drive. I believe that some of them also have an all-wheel drive option, although you shouldn't use it. but they are 2 4-wheel drives. They're built for a higher ground clearance. They have more room and space inside of them. Me, I'm kind of a bigger guy, 6'3". So my wife says I think I'm 6'4". A bit heavier set, I can barely fit in a Dodge Durango without a cage. If there's a cage in it, I can't fit in it comfortably at all. And we have a lot of taller deputies that work here. And part of the reasons the vehicle's assignments that they stay, keep them in the Explorers or some of the other cars is just that they don't have a big cabin. And when you start adding additional items, like we're looking at possibly getting MDTs in the future, you have a cage. Once you start adding more stuff inside of the cabin, when you're already in a constricted space, it's just not a comfortable place to work in. And law enforcement in general spend a good portion of their time inside their vehicles. And also on that note, too, with the Durangos that we have had, with the taller deputies, had to get half cages for them. Which basically seals off the passenger side rear, and they can only transport one arrested person or inmate at any time. So the Tahoes will be a huge benefit on that part. I'm not sure what the deal is with the cost with Chrysler versus General Motors. The Durangos are fairly inexpensive when you purchase them up front, but the cost of parts are very, very expensive in comparison. Whereas the Tahoe might be a little bit more when you buy it initially, but the parts are cheaper and they're more readily available. And on top of that, because a Tahoe is a platform that's generally used by law enforcement all over the country, parts are easier to get, as in upfitting for police packages and whatnot. And there's more of a competitive market between those vendors, so we can get parts cheaper. So it's a win.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, Eric mentioned the MDT's mobile data terminals. We mobile data terminals from Washoe County Sheriff's Office. They donated to us. A few of those things were brand new, actually. We're also looking at receiving 20 more data terminals and the stands and the cradle points that go along with those from Carson City. They're in the process of getting those decommissioned and sent over. Cost savings, yes, for the future, but communication benefit big time with dispatch and between deputies, allowing the deputies to run and deal with all the report writing right inside the vehicles. These mobile data terminals can cost $3,000 to $4,000 each, plus a little bit of equipment that goes with them. The fire department already getting this system set up for the county, us jumping on board is a minimal cost, and we plan to get that going in the future.
Sure, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yes, please.
So this mobile data terminal situation, so the current process is, hypothetically, you arrest somebody, you got to go back to the office to do your paperwork? Is that how that goes? And then now with the terminals, you could actually knock this stuff out.
You can. And you can basically run people. You can check everybody out, do your reports, and have everything done on your computer in the car. You can actually remove them and take them. If you go to have lunch, you can bring them in with you or do other things. So they're not just stuck in the cars, but it just makes the more efficient.
Just got one thing on. Sure. Sorry.
Currently what the deputies have to do, if we're on a traffic stop or anything of that nature, we're radioing dispatch. They're doing the records check through their computer, then they're getting back to us. What these terminals will assist in once they're set up and fully functional is the deputy on the scene can actually run the vehicle in their car in front of them. They can run the subject that they're out with. That saves time on the dispatch side. Is a big increase officer safety wise for us, because we have the ability to know who we're dealing with fairly quickly versus waiting for somebody to come back on the radio after they run them in a completely different location. And the sheriff can attest to it, as well as the fire chief. A lot of situations we have one dispatcher in there or two that are handling multiple calls. Right. And on numerous occasions we'll be on traffic stops where we have to wait or stand by because they're toning out something or they have a 911 call. So it would definitely relieve some of the burden off of the communication side of it as well. Nice. And in free.
Good to know. I appreciate that. That definitely sounds like a much needed improvement.
This is a great thing for us up here because we don't have anything like this. And like I said, the fire chief just got this going with his department last year, I think it was. However, this is already behind the times. More agencies are going towards tablets and a different, similar communication, but newer updated equipment, which is obviously more expensive. This is getting us into that area right now. And that's, we're trying to get catch up to the times with this stuff. Moving on a little bit to facilities, where we spoke about the Tri-Center. It's growing exponentially. And this location was planned for many years ago and never utilized. Our plan is to utilize it. We just had a double fatal accident out there last week, a horrendous scene. And my first major accident was that one that I went out there. Traffic control is terrible. The circumstances of the accident were horrible. The way the deputies handled it was fantastic because they've been doing it for so long. It was almost routine. I hate to say that, but we shouldn't have that kind of routine in the county. We should be more safety conscious with some of that stuff. I think that having this substation out there is going to benefit us by having more of a presence out there in the Tri-Center. Again, I mentioned earlier moving the sex offender registrations and all fingerprinting out to that location, and possibly evidence locker until we get something else going up here in Virginia City. The Lockwood substation, I plan is for a smaller footprint out there. I don't see a need to have the, like I said, the registers or registrations taking place out there. the county a little bit on a mail service or possibly a DMV kiosk. And that just came up this morning. So I see a benefit there for the residents. Again, maintaining the staffing out there Monday through Friday so the folks are able to come in and make reports. The area up here, we're so spread out with what we have going on, but I think making use of our facilities right now is the best thing to do. And try to be as efficient as we can. Up here on C Street, 205, focus more on administration there and running the business of the sheriff's office in that location. Walk-ins, and we're going to still get folks that want to come in and make a report, which is no problem. We can handle that. But we've moved the patrol side of everything out of that building over to the jail. Simply the ease of parking and getting in and out and access. And we're not taking up parking spots on C Street, so visitors can take up parking spots on C Street, I think, is a benefit. And then over at the jail, we moved patrol over there. We got ease of parking. And we are making some changes, simple changes over there for now. Jennifer mentioned training. With new staffing, we are going to increase our training dollars because we have more people to send to training. We've identified several areas of investigative skills and just common police knowledge that our deputies are lacking. And I think getting them up to speed as quickly as possible is very important for that. Investigations, we actually have a few cases going on that, as of the first of the year, that are significant. And I'm not going to comment too much on those, but they're going to be a big deal here shortly. We have a newly hired deputy assigned right into investigations. And he's taken the lead and really started getting into it. We're working on clearing some old cases, and we're dealing with some of our old cases that have undocumented portions of them and evidence issues, and we're trying to get those. Some of the other things I wanted to do, and there's going to be a cost at some point, is our partnerships with other parts, with other departments and county agencies. One thing is with the community chest and working with them with our mental health outreach. And we've already started that program. Right now it's in its infancy. We have one of the social workers there at the community chest helping us out. At this time, he's only riding with deputies when they're available and making appointments to go see people. I could see in the future having a full-time MOST officer to work with social workers and that community outreach. I mentioned earlier the evidence, and I'll talk about that for just a minute. There's going to be some cost here right off the bat. One of the things that we found in our evidence room is we have miscataloged and misstored property or evidence that's improperly stored and taken care of. And then we have to come up with a cataloging process. And this could be software, new computers. It could be all kinds of things. Right now, trying to decide what doesn't need to be there and what does need to be there is important. And we're working on that. Like I said earlier, one of our sergeants is assigned to that, basically full-time with one of our volunteers currently, which is very part-time on her part. Let's see, moving on. Grants. Jennifer mentioned grants. I am looking to obtain this off-highway vehicle grant again this year. We're trying to get this first one. Takes place in July. It's issued two times a year, July and December. And in July, I'll be asking for around $55,000 for some equipment training educational money to get out there to the users, the off-highway vehicle users, for pamphlets and things just to support safety out there in our Story County area. The off-highway vehicle stuff is kind of a big deal. We are such a tourist location, and we have so many folks that come up here in off-road vehicles all summer long, yet we don't have any way to deal with that through the sheriff's office. I found out last year that our county is one of the most per capita that puts here registers their vehicles that lives in the county. Yet we don't see any of that benefit from those dollars. So my plan is to submit for these grants, equipment, training, some education for the officers, and then getting out there with the outreach, speaking to the kids and getting to schools. And I have got a whole plan for that. I'd like to see that go. And I think that grant's going to be good. Generally, these grants are about a 15% in-kind contribution. And try to keep it at that area, at that level. We're working on a DOJ grant, which it's not written yet. Thank you, honey, so much. She's been helping, just kind of guiding me with some of the grant ideas and things. And this one would supply some software, communications equipment, and such. We did receive an $8,000 grant already from the Gary Sinise Foundation for our reserve officers and some of their equipment. That was great. That happened right off the bat. Reserve officers has started helping with grant writing process. But again, you know, stretching, he's a volunteer, he's got a full-time job, and now he's jumping on board with us to try to help with that. It makes it a little bit more difficult and less efficient when we need to get things rolling quickly. The United We Stand grant is something that's been here for quite some time. The sheriff's office has never gotten involved with that. I do plan on getting involved with that. And we have some great ideas for some license plate readers and surveillance equipment for that grant in outlying areas in Virginia City as well. And that's pretty much, I take all your questions.
You didn't address it, and I'm not asking that it gets dealt with right away, but I would just ask, you know, animal control has become a bigger problem. And I would ask that, you know, as you start to think about improvements, obviously it's not going to benefit us out of the industrial park so much, but I don't know what the current situation is for dogs. You know, we get a lot of lost dogs. I would just personally like to see maybe a little better facilities for an animal control center that we have here. I don't know if we still ship them out to Lyon County. I know, you know, they're housed at, I think, dispatch for a little bit. I know there is like a kennel at the sheriff's office, but I know in the Highlands it's a big problem. And it's just something near and dear to my heart that I would just ask. There's a way that we could look at, you know, maybe improving our animal control facilities. It would mean, I know, a lot to some folks out in the Highlands and myself particularly. So
I agree. I'm a dog lover. I love them.
Yeah.
On that thing? Okay. Great. Take over.
Hello, Honey Menifee, for the record. One of the new appropriations requests that we submitted for the coming year for the Virginia City Justice Center, it will include an upgraded and adequate dog kennel facility. So that is included in what is coming, and it will be included in the planning process of that.
Appreciate that. I don't really have any other questions. You know, honestly, you know, I think a lot of these changes that you're looking to make are definitely, you know, needed. I think that, you know, looking at the deputies, I think that everybody's embracing these changes. And, you know, I really don't have any issues with any of your requests personally. So, Vice Chairman, do you have any questions for the sheriff?
I just had a few kind of functionary questions about the budget itself. I noticed that there was nothing on the revenue side. Under the salary and wages, there was nothing on the line for longevity. Is that just due to the natural turnover that's happened? It seems that in past years, longevity was a portion of what we had to do, a fairly small portion, but there was nothing reflected in our budget.
An item in the budget is primarily due to elected officials' longevity that they're paid annually every year. The longevity that was approved in the Sheriff Union CBA is included in their wages.
Great, thank you. I was curious about a couple other line items under expenses, maintenance agreements, just trying to understand which of these are actual expenses and which of them are just getting them in the right slot, so to speak. But it looks like there's a almost $37,000 line item there where it's been almost nothing in the past.
So the sheriff's department historically has had several maintenance agreements, for example, for their body cameras, their tasers. There's one other one I can't think of. they were spread out into other areas, enforcement supplies, capital outlay, and a dues and subscriptions. We are combining all of those into our maintenance and support line items. That's why there's that significant increase there.
Okay, great. And then what are sheriff garnishments?
So garnishments is the sheriff's department processes any garnishment that comes through. Somebody didn't pay their power bill and NV Energy has to deal with the sheriff's office to serve those papers and collect that money and then pay it. So it is not barely an expense, but it is money that goes out and might not be recognized at the end of the year.
Got it. Thank you. Those are all the questions.
Yeah, but what it's worth on the Tahoe end.
Yep.
So
good.
I was going to say maybe they weren't getting the Durangos with 700 horsepower, and that was the problem.
Yeah. That's definitely a problem.
If I can, I'd like to move on to community development.
Okay.
They have increases in service and supplies as well as their capital outlay. The increasing line items are travel and training, which has increased approximately 47%. This is primarily due to a new inspector coming online, as well as making sure that his inspectors are all at the levels that he would like them at. We have an increase in the telephone account. This is to, again, accommodate the new employee, as well as to match the current actuals and allow for some inflation there. Capital outlay is increasing due to the need of the community development department to purchase a full-time printer for their tri-office. Their computer software has decreased as these charges are now being moved to professional services to match that. Again, when the software is initially purchased, it's a capital outlay. Once we move into the area where it's simply just support, it becomes professional services. And that's all I have for community development.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
Chairman, I just want to add too on this one. The extra inspector is somewhat correlated to factory expansion, and there may be negotiations of a government services agreement to cover that cost, but that hasn't begun yet.
Okay, noted. Thank you.
Next, we have our community relations, or as we're tentatively calling it, business and community resources. Again, if you have any great creative names for this, please let us know.
Not so black.
Honey wanted to stay away from service. This department is completely being reinvented. Currently, this department has one employee that handles the service needs and grants, minus the engineer services, which is out of the commissioner's and administrative budget, as well as all the grants that we have coming into the county. As you have heard over and over again, these large appropriations are going to begin soon, and that's going to be a full-time job for one person to manage those projects, complete all the reporting that needs to be done to keep up with the USDA and the HUD requirements. So to do this, we are combining community and business relations. And as I stated during the commissioner's budget, the business development officer will be moving over here and heading up this department. With that, she'll be taking all of her expenses with her. As well, we are requesting an additional position that would separate the community service grant position into two separate positions, allowing the grant position to solely concentrate on our grants, which is looking just next year alone to be several million dollars. With that, the new community service coordinator would also alleviate pressures off of the commissioner's administrative positions by moving all of the community and indigent services over to this new department. Unfortunately, with this reorganization, it's also going to include some additional costs. The major one is travel and training. These three employees would now be able to concentrate on their specific pocket, if you will, of specialties and would allow them to seek out training opportunities for indigent services or grants or economic development, wherever their specific specialties lie. In this fund, we are also moving the cemetery support out of the commissioner's budget into this budget. As you're aware, we have been working diligently on supporting the cemetery foundation to supply the public with, I don't know why this is hard for me to say, to supply the public with county cemetery services. At this point in time, we have not settled on an exact amount. I have currently budgeted $25,000, which is the amount that we have paid in previous years. However, I'm continuing to work with Candace Wheeler to get a final figure on the cost of the county cemetery operations. As well, the Cemetery Foundation as a nonprofit to preserve the historic aspects of the cemetery. And with this nonprofit, they have applied for a nonprofit grant of $9,975 to create a storage workroom addition to their cemetery visitor center. Along with this department, we are also funding all of our other nonprofit support grants and building maintenance for county-owned buildings in which the nonprofits run. Our nonprofit grants this year are increasing by 6%, and our building maintenance is decreasing by 15%. And I'd like to ask Honey to come up here and elaborate a little bit more on our nonprofit and building maintenance.
Hello, Honey Menifee, for the record. So the community chest has requested increases for their youth services, library, and healthcare, and that increase is about $39,000. St. Mary's building building support fund, they're asking for brick and stone repointing, which is going to be $83,000. The front grounds lawn replacement and landscape is going to be $67,000. And again, we have all the estimates and bids for these projects. And with this one, it'll help lower their water bill. They've had some substantial water increase in their water bill. So that would help mitigate some of those costs. The ADA ramp and parking is $45,600. And that was one of the projects that was switched from this year's project to next year's project to accommodate some of the more for this year. The outbuilding stabilization project is $22,000. And the fourth floor way it was room and storage room ceiling enclosure is $16,000. Why this project is important is because that fourth floor way it was room is the only room remaining in St. Mary's that is the original structure and how it looked at the time. So they want to put in some preservation efforts to make sure that when there are tourists and visitors and guests staying there, that some of those aspects aren't able to be removed and that that room maintains the way it is. So I'd like to mention at this point, ownership issues, St. Mary's has not been able to apply for outside grant funding. So all of the grants that she had applied for through the SHPO this last year has were awarded, but they have not been able to be obligated to St. Mary's because of the property ownership issues. So this $233,000 that she's requesting for the building maintenance support is important, and that at this time, there is no other available funding that can be applied for. The fourth ward, they want to upgrade their electrical system. Their panels are over 20 years old, and as they're extending their operation and tourist hours later in the year, they went to December this year. They did not close on October 31st. They would like to upgrade the electrical to be able to accommodate the harsher climates as, for their guests to make it more pleasant to be there and to also be safer as these panels are getting older. Their request for this is $33,400 for their building maintenance request. So this year we also have a new nonprofit, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and they are asking $10,000 for their program support. They do a lot for the veterans and other people in the communities. And pretty much across the board, we reached out this year for documentation from every nonprofit so that we would have better records and better proof of what these funds will be going towards. And then this next year, we'll be changing things up a little bit during the application process to kind of streamline things and make it easier to be able to show what is actually benefiting the county. So if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Honey, have we started that reduction yet?
Yes.
Okay.
And so all of these that started last year are reflective of that 50% cap that we will not fund past. Totally. And all of them were below that limit, except St. Mary's, but the director automatically factored that in. So she's working with us on that. So we didn't even have to tell her it's got to be this amount. She factored it into her funding request and lowered hers by 10% this year.
Yeah. And she had a bug in her ear. Maybe somebody on her board probably told her.
Maybe.
Anyway, that's all I have. Vice Chairman.
I was just curious on the professional services line item. The request from the department was fairly nominal, and then the final that came through for the department, for the community relations department, was significant. And I'm just wondering what accounts for that. It's about $250,000.
This is one of those new costs combined with this department. She's brought over some of her professional services from the commissioner's office, as well as it has been requested to look into having some murals painted on possibly sides of buildings out in Tri. I guess basically to let them know that people are in Story County. And I think Austin is heavily involved in this, if you'd like some more information on that.
Sure.
Thank you, Comptroller. Austin Osborne for the record. Yes, I think Jennifer pretty much said it. We have to make a different presence. The industrial park and the business community and business networks. And Laura has been working on that over time. And one of the things we've done already is go out to RFP and to look at PR services and to really try to reform it, what our programs are. And getting our name and our understanding of who we are and what we do and what our businesses are and the fact that we have actual business retention and recruitment services now out into the business communities across the country could translate into bringing one company into the county that will pay for all of that professional service. Other thing we're also finding is people's lack of understanding of who we are and what Tri-Center is versus what Story County is. Everybody knows what Virginia City is. Everybody knows what Tri-Center is, but nobody knows what Story County is. That and our lack of involvement in PR in the region is translating into people wanting to take what we have. So there is a significant amount of energy that's going to go into campaigning of who we are, what we're about, and what we're doing in the region, such as what we're doing with legislative processes right now. That is part of the professional services we see here.
Okay.
Thank you. I guess I'm just having a hard time tracking it through because I see those, most of what we just talked about listed in the commissioner's budget. And so I'm having a hard time figuring out what's been moved over, what makes up $250,000.
It's the movement that Jennifer, I think, will explain better than me than that.
And some of those professional services that you're seeing getting firm, they'll still do specific work that pertains to the commissioner's office, but a significant amount of that work will be dedicated towards the business end of the county. So there are shared expenses. However, this is one of those things that is continuing to change until we how much exactly is going in which department.
Got it. Understood. Maybe if, because in the material that I have, I don't have any sort of breakdown of
okay.
what they are. So if I can just get that, it's broken down on the commissioner's side, just not on the.
Okay, I'll make note of that. I apologize for that.
No, it's quite all right. It's just $250,000 comes across the table, you know.
Yes.
Got to wonder what it's for.
Murals.
Yeah. Sweet. I think I found my calling.
It's nice to know you're looking at it. That was a test. I also want to tag on to the St. Mary's not being able to apply for grants due to the property ownership. One of the things that Drew and I talked about with her scanning program, if she can get those 100-some-odd years of documents scanned and searchable, it could help alleviate some of these historical problems that we can't find because we're looking through mountains of books and that kind of thing. Okay.
Right.
Moving on to the communications department, they have a significant increase in their dues and subscriptions. This is due to a Motorola radio contract. Unfortunately, this was overlooked in the past year's budget, and we're going to have to make transfers and augments to correct that issue. However, we are putting it into this year's budget, and that's approximately $50,000. Currently in the coming year, we'll be in year three of an 8-year contract. So you'll see that in the budget for several more years. We have some possible changes in this department's budget. Hopefully we can solidify these before the final budget. We're currently working with Becky on some capital outlay requests. One significant one is a mobile terminal that she can set up and have as a training desk where her dispatchers don't need to log out of an actual system to log into a training system. We'll have more on that as all that information comes to light. Moving on to the comptroller's budget. Again, I let you know that my part-time position will be moving to more than half-time, sharing that with, because we're in the same little house as the community service business relation department. We have agreed that this additional person is the perfect way for us to share some of those administrative duties. Also, our travel and training budget has increased this year significantly with some of the issues that we've talked about earlier. We have some trainings and some out-of-area meetings with little to no information on them at this time of submitting the budget. Wanted to make sure that if getting more specific information on some of these trainings, they seemed feasible. And as a benefit to the county, I wanted the opportunity to either go or send a staff member. There'll be more finalization in that coming into the tentative. Also an increase in our professional audit services. And this is due to increases from some of these audit contractors. I do have a few that I haven't heard from yet, so that's an area that could change. Moving on to the senior center, we are in the second year of this new department's budget, and Stacy has worked really hard to make sure that she's staying within the budget, and we are making several new changes of things we've found through this year that aren't quite working right. One of those is a significant increase in her auto and building maintenance. She prefers to keep some of her building maintenance in-house and not go to buildings and grounds because they are portions of them could be grants as well as they're specific to her needs and she would like to manage those projects. We're having some decreases in her budget and telephones, utilities, and office supplies, as we're seeing that she is not spending what we initially intended. This brings the total department overall increase to an 8%. A couple of areas that we touched on before that we will be solidifying before the final are her possible new food contracts with the school and the sheriff's office. The school contract will have a revenue and expense area of the budget. The sheriff's office, we're looking at a couple of different ways to approach this, because the senior center and the sheriff are both part of the general fund. I'm not really seeing that we need to have expenses and revenues where we pay ourselves money. It just might be that the sheriff's office is paying for his food and her people are supplying it to the jail. And finally, the planning department. This department is going to be extremely busy this year, which is why the request for an additional planner. This budget has increased 46%. The significant increase is primarily in their professional services of 58%. I'm not going to begin to try to explain this to you. And I think Kathy's on Zoom to give you an update on why she needs this significant increase.
Hello, I'm here. So I have an echo. Do you guys? No,
there's no echo on our part yet.
Okay. So we've got a lot of different projects that have come up that we are probably going to have to also include some expertise from out of house. So we would be looking at, we've got our master plan update is coming up, although I think I will be working on that. For the most part, we're also looking to, some of these areas are going to need some expertise. I think Austin can expand on some of this, but one of the issues is housing. We wanted to maybe have a better, have a more in-depth look at the housing issues, the things that have been brought up over the years. And that's going to be something that somebody with a more economic background is going to need to also weigh in on for us. We have a bigger project with our roads. I've got an entire paper with different ideas of the different things with the roads we've talked about before. Looking at roadway abandonments, where our road, our paper roads are versus where the real roads are, and that, analyzing that. Looking at our parking study that we've had and looking at parking for locals versus tourist parking and where we have opportunities to improve those situations. We've looked at handicap parking as something that's come up before too, that we'll be looking at, that's on the list. So there's a whole gamut of items that are kind of related to that topic. We've got our Long Valley Creek project that will be going into the next fiscal year. We've got the USGS Highlands groundwater study is going to be wrapping up this next fall. So we've got that on here. We'll be wrapping up our water resource plan. We're working on our Virginia City Drainage Area Master Plan with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. And with all that, plus whatever other ideas that tend to come up as soon as we finalize something, we're also looking to see about trying to find another planner to add to the department. So we've budgeted in for that, plus all the things that go along with the planner. And those are the additions that we're looking at compared to from what we've been doing this last year. I don't know, Austin, if you wanted to weigh in on anything I might have missed.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Austin Osborne. I'll just speak on one. I think Kathy covered everything in her department just fine. There's a housing needs analysis that's in there to look at having your professional services consultant put together. We've been working this year with the legislative issues in our other analyses using data and numbers and actual reality. And this housing needs assessment will help us in the region discuss the housing that we have approved already, the amount of parcels and the amount of developability the county has on the books already in our discussion with the region to explain our housing plan and why we are where we are. We feel this is a necessary study to be done. It will be integrated ultimately with a master plan that Kathy and Lindy are putting together as Kathy described.
Thank you, Austin.
You're welcome.
Nice.
I do not.
Okay.
Okay, that brings us to the end of the general fund. I'd like to let you know that the way this is currently presented, we have an excess revenue of $1.2 million. However, as you have heard, just things that have come about in the last week, there are several areas that need work, and this is really not excess money as far as our office is concerned. The ending fund balance of the general fund will see a reduction of approximately 43% or $11 million, which is all going to creating a better community for our residents, businesses, and visitors. I want to thank all of the department heads and their cooperation for creating this budget. You understand that my job is to pull all of these ideas together and make it work. I hope you appreciated hearing from some of these specific department heads on their needs. I don't presume to be experts on what they need. I just try to fulfill their wishes and make their departments run smoothly. So with all of that, if you have any further questions for your department heads or myself, I'm happy to answer any questions before we move on to the Scurry County special funds.
I had two small questions. Services.
For which one?
Senior services.
Okay.
125. You had mentioned, and again, this is a fairly new budget. You had mentioned that we were able to bring down things like utilities. It seems like it was brought down to a point that's significantly below what the year to date is. Is the year to date excessive one time, something we're not expecting to repeat?
So last year we made a change of buildings and grounds paying for all of the utilities. The senior center was missed. Buildings and grounds will be paying the Virginia senior center utility bills, and the senior center will be paying their outlying sites utilities.
Thank you. And then there's an insurance premium line as well that went to zero. I'm just curious about that.
Because the senior center is a part of the general fund, your county manager's office will be paying their insurance premium.
How generous. Great. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
All right, before we move on, is there any public comment? Special revenue funds.
So we'll move on to the special revenue funds. First, I want to apologize that I did notice that your summary sheets that were included in your packets, percentages from the current year's finals to the tentative are incorrect. I'll try to speak of those as we go through some of these important changes through these funds. Secondly, in the interest of time, standing up here is not my most favorite thing to do. Funds that have little to no deviations from their current fiscal budget, I'm not going to specifically be commenting on. They're fairly status quo. Include indigent medical, emergency mitigation, stabilization, USD, our drug court fund, technology, genetic marker, indigent accident, the justice court fund, park fund, and the tri-payback fund. So if you have any specific questions or comments on any of these funds, I'm happy to discuss them or answer questions. Otherwise, I can move on to our major fund changes. Move on. The road fund is the first one I'd like to address. The revenues in this fund without the transfer from the general fund is going to increase approximately 30%. However, with some of the special projects that Jason and his team have planned, this was not enough, hence the reason for the $1 million transfer in. Again, I'd like to note that part of the problem, road fund does take a portion of the SCCRTs. That is one area that could change. As far as the gas tax, this is one question that I have talked to taxation about. Their projection for the coming year is $218,000. This is a decrease from the current year's projection of $315,000. Our actuals are currently exceeding that amount. In talking with them, they have no idea why there is a decrease here. These numbers come from the Department of Transportation. And their answer to my problem is budget what I think we need, and just simply put a note on that page. So I am increasing the recommended amount of $218,000 to $600,000, which I think is probably still conservative, but it's meeting with this year's trends. Expenses in this department, overall, this budget is increasing approximately 69%. This is due to, again, the health insurance increases that we talked about, all of the CPAs and the merit increases, as well as the request for two additional full-time employees and two additional part-time employees. There's also a possible reclass of a road position that is also included in this budget. This combines both wages and benefit increase of approximately 58%. In service and supplies, we're seeing some significant increases in training due to new regulations for CDL requirements. We also have a traffic signal maintenance expense account and a traffic signal maintenance revenue account. We need to spend the money for our traffic signal maintenance. We have two traffic signals out in Tri. However, my understanding of the contract and speaking with Mike Norlin, the state is to reimburse the county for any costs over $2,500. So that's the need for the revenue account. In capital outlay, we have a significant increase of approximately 83%. Some of these additional projects over normal maintenance of roads across the county include a semi-truck turnaround at the bottom of 6 Mile with appropriate signage. We're hoping that this will prevent these semi-trucks from trying to come up 6 Mile, getting stuck before they can turn onto C Street, which then is taking our precious time of our firefighters, our sheriffs, anybody who can help them get out of the way. Also, where is the ongoing culvert replacement project down in Mark Twain. There's been found to have a need for some K-rails to put in specific areas of Cartwright that we're looking at. And also, this is the first year that the road department will begin to pay 50% of the Far West Road CIP, which encompasses roads in Virginia City. If you need more information on this, Jason should be on Zoom to answer any more questions.
Any questions?
Michelle?
Good. I'm good as well.
I see him.
Yeah, I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
We're good right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lastly, I'd like to say that we do expect some changes within the road fund as we move into the final budget. I'm just not sure what those are at this time. Okay. Moving on to equipment acquisition, the fund is supported through a percentage of the ad valorem tax, as well as insurance claim reimbursement in the sale of vehicles and equipment. Our requested purchases for the coming year include two community development trucks. One is a replacement and one is for a new inspector, one county manager or general use pickup. As we discussed during the sheriff budget, he is changing his vehicles from Dodge Durangos to Chevy Tahoes this year. However, we're continuing the current replacement programs, which would be three vehicles a year. We also possibly have two insurance replacements, which I built in an insurance contingency in this fund. These vehicles do not include the one that was in an accident yesterday, but they're currently being evaluated by pool, and we don't know if they're repairable or need to be fully replaced. As well, one vehicle for the sheriff. And IT has requested a snowblower for the Justice Center and the IT buildings so they can help manage the snow at that area of the county. This budget and revenue and requested purchases, the ending fund balance will decrease approximately 8%. In capital projects, we have several projects that unfortunately need to roll over from the current year due to weather or limited supplies of materials. Currently, these may include the Lockwood substation upgrades, a dog park out in Lockwood, fuel pump upgrades, the courthouse historic fence repair, Justice Court, the Justice Center parking lot, Station 72 bays, which the contract has been awarded. However, the weather has not, this project hasn't been able to start. Jason or Mike can elaborate on any of those if you'd like. We also will have a meeting in the coming weeks to see really where these projects lie and if they can be completed by June 30th. New projects with federal appropriations that we have talked about a lot include the new Lockwood Senior Center, the new Station 71 and fairground upgrades. About these projects, we're currently expecting to see these funds October of 23. This has been a long wait, and we're very excited as these are starting to move forward. The Senior Center is currently in the planning stages. We just had a meeting with Loomis. Really exciting to see some actual drawings of this new center. We asked them to please prepare something that we can present to the board and show that community that this project really is moving forward and give everybody some highlights of what we're looking at. Station 71 and the fairground upgrades are moving forward slightly. However, we are waiting for USDA to allow us to move forward on any significant motion. Other new projects under capital, the Capital Projects Fund includes some courthouse security, generators at Community Development and the Justice Center. We are also just came up looking at a generator out at the new Lockwood Senior Center, which was not part of the original plan. I think this winter has shown us all that we need to have some backups. Also some tri-center remodeling to accommodate more departments such as the sheriff's office, although that one's kind of iffy with the new appropriations that we're applying for, but we do need to move around other departments to make room for that. The tri-center remodeling will also include some bigger, bolder, clear signage that this is a Story County facility, what is housed there. Since Mitzi and I went out there a week or so ago for union negotiations and we drove right by it. We have several IT projects in this fund, which include network wiring of the Virginia City Senior Center, Station 74 network upgrades, cameras for security of critical areas of the county, and a fiber project connecting Station 71 to the dispatch center. James can elaborate on any of these. He's still on Zoom.
I'm here. Commissioners, if you have.
Thank you, James. Do you have anything for James?
I do not.
Okay. All right. I think you're free, James.
Thank you, sir.
These projects and the anticipated revenue should have a slight increase of 2% on the ending fund balance of the Community Projects Fund. This is what we're moving towards as we're trying to plan for projects in the future of in the CIP. We expect some changes within the Capital Projects Fund as we move towards the final budget. Structure Fund, you approved the resolution that approves the plan for this fund back in December. This year's projects from that approved plan include 50% of the Far West CIP, that's the roads CIP, a portion of the Lockwood substation project, and some much needed upgrades to the water system. These planned projects and revenue will reduce the ending fund balance from $1.7 million to $1.1 million, which is what we expected as this fund has, I'm not sure what it is at this moment, but it has a time limit on it, unless it's renewed. Our VC Rail Fund, these projects are within the CIP and must be related to railway, the railway within Story County. The CIP projects for this coming year include capital improvements for safety issues at the BC Freight Depot, as well as a possible rollover project of a ramp at the Gold Hill Depot for people exiting the train to go right into the depot rather than walking through the rocks. As well, Story County will still continue to support the Commission for the V&T Railroad with the same amount as last year. The VCTC, Todd and his team did an amazing job preparing this budget with little direction and very little time. Literally on his first or second day, budgets were due. They regrouped together and got this done quickly. With his plans for the coming year and Liquid Blue's projections for the special event, this budget is pretty close to balance with approximately $29,000 of excess revenue. Todd may figure out what to do with this excess revenue between now and the final budget. That remains to be seen. It's important to note that this budget is primarily approved by the VCTC Governing Board. However, it is included in the Story County budget. Therefore, it's here for your approval as well. Pipers, the revenues are still falling short of their budgeted operating expenses between $75,000 and $85,000. While we see revenues increasing, it's still not enough to reach this self-supporting stage with expenses at approximately $230,000. Therefore, we have the transfer from the general fund to ensure that the director of the VCTC and his staff can continue to operate this historic event venue. That's all I have for these specific special revenue funds. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those now.
Thanks, Shirley. You have I just have two small questions on the VCTC budget, and that is the profit increase in postage.
I think Todd is on Zoom. If he wants to answer that, I know that they're planning on mailing out more things that have happened in the past, which would make sense on postage. As specific, I'm not sure at the top of my head. But he's on Zoom.
Todd, are you there?
I will get that answer for you and have it at the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, the only other one was dues and subscription. The breakdown on it looked like a request for over $4,000 and the final came in at $20,000.
Yes. Okay.
Without any specific note on what that was.
I will get that for you as well. Again, I'd like to let you know that during the next three meetings, I'll have updates for you and you'll be seeing me regularly. On May 16th will be the final approval for the final budget to taxation by June 1st. Again, I'm happy to answer any questions at any time and entertain any suggestions to the budget increases or decreases.
Thank you. Councilor McKenzie, do you have any other questions?
I just had one last one. You mentioned it kind of briefly, but as far as the plan was to use some rail funds for a limited project at the Freight Depot this budget year. Is that the only improvement at the Freight Depot? I know that was a little hot and heavy for a while, and it seems to kind of cool off a little bit.
We began a while ago. We had a committee for some updates and to create a plan on to get that facility up and operating, somewhat modernized with keeping the historic aspect. That was slightly put on hold with entertaining. There were several safety issues that needed to be addressed before anything else, as well as we want to ensure that we're not taking away valuable events from our nonprofits that already have event venues. So there was a lot more rework before we could get that building going. Anything else?
Is there any public comment regarding this, the last set of funds? All right, not seeing anything else.
I'm good.
Okay. Vice Chairman, you heard entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'm Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the 2023-2024 Story County tentative budget for submission of Nevada Department of Taxation as presented.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Thank you to all the department heads. We're going to, you're not going too far, are you, Jennifer?
No, you can hear
that. I was going to say. Moving on to item number 28 is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible action to accept assignment of lease of property within the Silverchair Cemeteries from Comstock Cemetery Foundation, also known as CCF, which is presently leased to CCF for 99 years for $1 per year by Consolidated Virginia Mining Company, CVMC, will include in the lease additional property within yet undefined area of cemetery property to be known as the Eastern Extended Lands, also known as EEL. In order to define the area in the assigned lease, the county will cause a survey of a portion of the Ohio relocation and March fraction mining claims belonging to CVMC to be made at the county's expense in an approximate amount of $30,000. Deputy DA Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So the CCF got a 99-year lease from the Consolidated Virginia Mining Company back in July 21 of 2021. That requires that the CCF conduct cemetery activities on the area that's been leased to them. In November of 2022, a memorandum of understanding between the county and the CCF regarding the cemetery operations. And as part of that MOU, it was contemplated that the CCF would assign that lease from the Consolidated Virginia Mining Company to the county. And that's what this document is for. It's to accomplish the assignment of that lease to the county. We will be subject to all the same terms and conditions as the CCF would have been under the terms of that MOU and under the lease. There is also, as mentioned in the description, there is intended to be an expansion of the cemetery properties to the east. The eastward extended lands is the area they're referring to. That is going to be the subject of a survey to determine exactly what that area is. And that was the survey of that area was approved back in November of 2022 with Loomis. The exact amount of that was $27,500, I believe. $27,050. And so that is going to be accomplished after the assignment of the leases is accepted, if that's what the board intends to do. Once that property is surveyed, it's going to be part of this lease, but per our agreement with the Consolidated Virginia Mining Company, they're going to deed that property to us and reserve the mineral rights upon the completion of that survey. So that's part of what's intended here. So this is before you today for the purpose of considering whether to accept the assignment of the lease under the terms that are set out.
Noted. Thank you very much. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments about this?
I don't. Thank you.
Is there any public comment about item number 28? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the acceptance of the assignment of the lease between CCF and CVMC from CCF and authorize the county to survey a portion of the Ohio relocation and March fraction mining claims to be included in the assigned lease for an amount not to exceed $30,000 and authorize the chairman to sign.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. It's too bad you didn't get an is and as yet as well. All right, before we venture on to the last budget, we got to take a quick 5-minute recess. Sorry.